somebody's getting a new baby, and it's a really big baby. You know what I mean? Somebody's getting a new instrument. It's the Pittsburgh Symphony. They're getting a new grand piano, the ones that the concerto soloists will play on for the next 20 years. This is the Piano Story. Welcome, music lovers. This is Accelerando, a podcast about ideas and stories all about music. My name is Paula Tuttle. I'm a cellist, creator of Chambersite, producer of concerts, and this podcast. I was talking to Peter Stump today, and there's a piano showdown, and it started weeks ago in New York, where Yefim Bronfman and some people from the Pittsburgh Symphony went and tried out all the Steinways that they wanted, and they picked two. So it's down to two. I'm going to let Peter tell the story.
Well, I may as well start by saying 20 years ago, that was the last time they selected a piano, was in 2002. And it was Yefim Bronfman and Emmanuel Axet, both went to New York City, and they selected two pianos, brought them back to the stage at Heinz Hall, where they had a showdown. That's when Brian Bailey was the piano technician. And at the end of that showdown, they went back and forth and back and forth, and finally decided that we're going to take this one. And, well, which is 557371. As I call it. That's a serial number.
A Steinway.
Yeah, it's a Steinway. Every piano I'm going to be talking about here is a Steinway. But it turned out to be a magnificent instrument. The process that they used to really guarantee through the selection using these very different artists, you know, Maestro Bronfman is a big, heavy, he's excellent at the bigger pieces, and yet they bringing in Emmanuel Axe also ensured that the Mozart was going to be present in this piano. So they found nothing short of a magnificent piano. And then in its early years, it was cared for by Brian Bailey meticulously. I didn't inherit these pianos as part of my, you know, a curator, I like to call myself, until 4 years later, 2006. But by that point, the instrument had already been settled in and everybody was just thrilled with it. Well, over time, even the best instruments do age. They lose some projection. They develop cosmetic problems. Artists are encouraged by Steinway & Sons to request new pianos. So as it hit 10 years old, we start hearing rumblings that, you know, every 10 years you should get a new piano. But it was performing so well that they postponed it 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, 18 years. Then COVID hit. At the 18-year point, they started to make some, maybe 17, they started a campaign to raise revenue and instantly raised $400,000, which is twice what they needed. And they were going to go ahead and pick a piano in 2020, but then COVID pushed that all back. So 2 years later, here we are. And about a month ago, the same two artists, not working together, but independently now, first Yefim Bronfman went to New York City with a small entourage from Heinz Hall and picked two of their, out of their selection, the best two that we'd like to think.
These are 9-footers.
These are all 9-foot concert grands, and bringing them back. They're both at Heinz Hall right now, sitting, waiting for preparation, waiting for the selection that is going to take place next week when Emmanuel Axe is in town. So although they aren't working side by side for the selection, the fact that Maestro Bronfman picked the first two and brought them back, and now Manny Axe is going to have an oversized say in which one of the two ultimately we keep. Although Manfred Honeck is in town and Rodrigo is going to be involved in this process, many other pianists are going to be working there. I'm more involved with the logistics of it now. There are some problems that come with these new pianos. For example, the instrument that we currently have, the 20-year-old Steinway, is a lacquer finish, a traditional satin finish. And that is rather non-reflective, and it doesn't show fingerprints and things like this. The new piano is polyester. It is extremely reflective and easily will show fingerprints. So there's going to not only need to be great care taken when it, perhaps even with white gloves, when it's moved out on stage so we don't leave fingerprints behind on the side that will be very visible from the audience. But in addition, there's the problem of the reflection of lights. When you put the lid up, the light will reflect into the orchestra. And if it's in your eyes at the beginning, it's not going to move. It's going to be there the whole performance. So that is a problem we're still working on, perhaps a way to change the reflective nature. They're even considering a giant window cling. You know, the things you put on the glass, because the polyester, it would stick very well to it, but something like that may be non-reflective enough that they would be able to use that so that the orchestra isn't having a problem. A second problem that they have is these pianos are, they have a big, giant, beautiful caster now. These pianos come, the wheels are about 5 inches of solid brass, and they have locks on them and things like this. However, the piano they have right now is on what they call a spider dolly. They took off the traditional wheels, and there is a Y-shaped, heavy steel construction dolly underneath it that allows it to roll over thresholds rather easily. Going from the elevator to the stage, the pianos are stored on the fourth floor, and they have to put it on an elevator, and then taking it off the elevator, there's a big, ugly bump. There's a steel threshold, and there's concern that every time they do that over time, it's going to stress the legs and things like that. Whereas the traditional spider dolly that we're currently using, it takes the hit. If the wheels break or whatever, the steel frame, you're not stressing the wood. It kind of is a built-in spring shock absorber. So there's concern there. How do we address that? Some people say, well, just take those big casters off. But those casters are now so large that if you just put it on the traditional spider dolly, the pedals would be on the floor. The whole piano would be 2 or 3 inches lower, which artists aren't going to like. They wouldn't even be able to get their knees underneath the keyslip. So these are some of the problems that we are currently engaging. Although I haven't actually been able to play the pianos yet myself.
That was my question. Have you played the pianos? Aren't you dying to play them?
And this is a little inside information that they brought the two pianos in on Tuesday of this week, and they put them in one of the rehearsal rooms. And almost immediately, it's kind of like putting a red rubber ball into a cage full of monkeys. It started attracting attention from everybody at Heinz Hall, orchestra members, the stagehands, you know, people that work in management, just everybody that came through. And they have no idea who, but one of the very first things they saw was somebody that had a water bottle on one of the pianos.
You have got to be kidding.
Yes, right off the bat. So what they did is they sort of built, they took the water bottle off, sent out an email to everybody and told them that the pianos were off limits until the selection. Mainly because not only do we need to be very protective of the one we're going to keep, but if there was any damage to the one that needs to go back to New York, then Heinz Hall would be responsible for that as well. So they don't want any of those sort of problems. Now, the last time they had the selection, I told you they brought two to New York. The second one never went back to New York. They had two on the stage, and they picked 557371. And as soon as the ink wasn't even dry on the paper, the second one sold.
Who bought the second Steinway?
To South Fayette School District.
Wonderful.
They said, if the piano is that good that Manny Axe and Jeff and Bronfman couldn't quite decide and it came down to a showdown, then that's what we want. So they didn't. They got the second best piano that New York had to offer without even having to go to New York and go through the selection process. And
priceless.
Everything. Yes. So that was a smart move on their part. So I don't know if something like that is in the offing for this time, but we're going to find out.
They definitely should get a finder's fee.
Yeah.
They did the fundraising for it and brought it to Pittsburgh.
They raised twice the money that they needed in a very short period of time. I happened to be on the committee, which is how I knew this. And I think there is a real passion in this city for music. Pittsburgh loves its music. It loves its classical music. And they had, of course, a few very large donors, but they also had school kids bringing their pennies in.
How many people donated to this piano?
All told, if you count all the school kids, I bet at least 1,000 contributed something financially. That there's 1,000 people out there or more that have a little bit of a financial interest in this piano. And they can go to a performance and think, yeah, you know, I took a few dollars in and bought this. Or I gave $10,000 and bought a key. It was one of the campaigns that they had.
I bought a string.
Yes, whatever it is. So a whole lot of people really did get a big kick out of the fact that they were able to participate this. It wasn't just one big donor. Perhaps they could have gone to PNC Bank and said, can you buy this for us? And that would have been it. but they really wanted it to be a community contribution. And that's where we are right now. We have two beautiful pianos. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, the current solo piano, as we call it, the one that's going to be used tonight for Tchaikovsky and by Maniacs next week for Mozart, is still a world-class instrument. Maniacs is going to be very happy with that piano next week. So I am really thrilled that going forward, after the selection, we will really have two pianos that we can offer artists to come in. They could have this brand new, perhaps a little more bombastic, powerful, if it's Rachmaninoff, if it's, you know, something that Tchaikovsky won, like they're doing this week, then it's absolutely ready to go. But if you wanted something that was really early Beethoven, Mozart, then we have that as well.
So with the addition of this one, they'll have two pianos
that are concerto ready, yes.
You also work at CMU, and they have a lot of pianos there. I know that Becky Billick, she said that she was able to choose from four pianos.
Yes.
So you tune and maintain all the pianos at CMU.
I do. But there's a bit of a drop-off at CMU once you get off the concert stage. There has been a lot of people, a lot of donors that are romanced by the idea of having a premier concert grand on the stage. But it's, and we do, there are four Steinway Ds. Three of them are less than 5 years old. And one of them is a Homburg Steinway. It is the only Homburg Steinway, 9-foot concert Steinway in Allegheny County that I'm aware of. So it is a perhaps even a greater area than that. So these are wonderful instruments, but if you went upstairs into the practice rooms, there's a real need for some investment. There isn't a piano in the practice rooms. It is less than 30 years old. And 30 years in a practice room, it's a lot. Some of those pianos get 10 or 12 hours a day, and they are not monitored in the way. There are a lot of drinks put on those pianos. There's backpacks put on and scratched off, and this, it's much harder. So I really am proud of what we have at the stage at at Carnegie Mellon, but we have room for improvement. And we have a new head, so that's first on my list when I sit down with him, is to ask how good at fundraising he is.
If someone wanted to donate a really good piano, or they wanted to give some money towards the pianos at CMU, who would they contact?
They could contact me directly. I have an easy email. It is piano@cmu.edu.
So there you have it, the lowdown on the search for a new grand piano for the Pittsburgh Symphony. Stay tuned for the final result in another episode. Thanks to Peter Stumpf for telling us about the story. See you next time, and thanks for supporting live music.